You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live via GoToMeeting. We're recording a little bit differently here with Elisa Murphy right now. Elisa Murphy, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm trying to record with my phone. Maybe that'll be better than my lazy-ass laptop. Tell them the story. We tried to actually do a video, apparently somebody's been neglecting their computer hygiene.
Lisa's, we're going to try to record some video, but Lisa's video is coming through as if she's, I don't know, I think the movie, what was it, Poltergeist, where the person,
oh, stop.
I think you're coming in a little less clear than that was. And if you haven't seen Lisa talk in person, there's a lot of arm movements that come with it. I just spent 20 minutes watching her arms move out of sync with her mouth, and it was scary. We might have
to turn the video off. Is it too distracting?
We might have to post some of that video just so people can look at it. So today, I got a story for you, Lisa. We were out on the road with grandbaby. Took grandbaby on about a 3,000-ish mile, maybe a little bit more than that road trip. We went out through Nebraska, out through Wyoming, out to Boise, Idaho, and then came back up north through Yellowstone and Montana, and it was awesome. She's a great traveler. I've talked about her incredible bladder before. She can go a long time without peeing, and it's great. We got to the hotel outside of Yellowstone after the presentation, walk into the hotel room. Pretty little, cute little stuffed wolf puppy on the pillow, on the bed.
Oh.
With like a 1995 price tag on it or something. And so she sees this and runs in and falls in love with it. And Papa has to buy the freaking stuffed animal because, you know.
It was on the bed.
Yeah, it was on the bed and it's cute and she falls in love with it. And I'm the Papa. If I was the dad, I probably would have said no. But I'm the Papa, so I said yes. And so we walk down the street a little bit later and go to the restaurant. And, of course, Wolfie comes with us. And we sit down. Waitress knew which hotel we were staying at because this is their thing. They put these in the room so parents and grandparents will buy things for kids. Talk about marketing, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
What is it, the Yellowstone Park Inn? That's just kind of slimy, but if I was a business person, I'd do the same thing because they must make good money on that.
Do the same thing.
Good bank selling that $4 stuffed animal for $20. But the thing I want to talk to you about for the episode was on this trip, Rowan has come up with this new thing. She says, Papa, we need to go check out the world. Papa, can we stop there and check out the world? And it's this whole thing. She wants to get out and go and explore. And it happened on this trip a lot, but it's happened. We'll be coming back from going to the hardware store, and we'll drive by a building. And she says, Papa, I haven't been in that building before. Can we check it out? A couple weeks ago, we had to stop. She stopped, drove by a parking garage. It's like a six-story parking garage. And it's got the stairways all glass because, you know, want to make sure nobody's peeing or getting raped in the parking garage. And so they make it all glass. Papa, I want to go up those stairs. And so we pull over and put money in the meter and walk up the stairs and walk down and get back in the truck. And so I love this idea of checking out the world. And I think we need to do more of this. And I'm afraid that in a lot of our early learning settings, we get stuck in the four walls of our classrooms. And that's kind of a a false representation of the world. If you're three and all you do is spend your day with a bunch of other three-year-olds and a couple other adults, you don't get a real good perspective of what the world is like. So how can we be better at helping kids check out the world?
Homeschool.
Okay, that's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening. No.
Well, I was thinking while you were talking, one, that curiosity, I mean, that's me. I mean, I am like that as an adult. I'm the one that stops. You see something on the side of the road or like even yesterday or this last week, I did a huge-ass road trip up to, which, oh, my God, there's a 7 hours in the car. Rah, one way, do the gig, come home. Rah. And, you know, I still pulled over and took pictures of the small little town where the sign said, I don't even remember the name of the town, but it said population ... growing. and there was a train, a little train engine, and it was the old, like, it was a stop where the train used to stop. And like, I find that even with everything going on in my life, I've allowed myself to keep a hold of that, ooh, let's go check that out, ooh, let's go check that out. But I've always kind of attributed that to my personality style of just being inherently curious about stuff. When I did family childcare, we were able to tap into that, right? Because we could either get in the car and go somewhere, we could go on a walk around the block, or we could go, you know, explore a place. In the center, though, you're kind of, I think you can infuse your day with that curious mindset or that exploratory, oh, I wonder what's over, or I'm wondering what, or I'm looking over here. You can't, but you are, I mean, reality, you're limited to, for the most part, that space.
Yeah.
And so I think it's up to the adult to find the elements of, let's go explore this, let's look at the world within that, the confines of that particular space. One of my first centers I worked at was in a strip mall, and many people have heard these stories. And I would take the kids for a walk. We called it a French fry walk because we would end up at the restaurant where the owner would give us a basket of French fries for free. I mean, it was awesome. Graziano's Pizza, total shout out, you know, Southern California. And the teachers used to tease me, and they're like, oh, you just want to go get French fries. And I'm like, okay, fine. If that's what you think, fine. But we knew the dry cleaning lady, and we knew the guy who owned the market, and we knew the boy who was over at the Chinese food guy and the dentist. And so that we would go on these walkabouts through the strip mall. And, you know, for the 12 hours a day that those kids were hanging out at the center, you know, that might have been their only glimpse into the real world where they weren't, confined to a car seat or in a car or whatever. And, you know, I didn't really stop to think about that until you just said that let's go explore the world. How can you still harness that idea even though you are limited to these four walls?
Yeah, yeah. And I think the whole checking out the world thing is a little bit different than a formal field trip too, because I think we've got
exactly
feelings on this. The field trip, you know, going to the grocery store and seeing how they make the donuts or whatever, and then you put on the paper hat and you go, it's not a real thing. It's a structured, planned. I like the checking out the world. For me, it seems more spontaneous, more flexible, more real life. And I think this, and maybe this is something that needs to be taking place with more at home. And I know we've got listeners who are parents. It's that the simple things like going to the darn grocery store, the dry cleaner or the car wash and those kind of things. Kids love this kind of stuff. And there's abundant learning available in this, and probably more learning than they're getting in a sit down structured, teach them something kind of setting, because it's so organic and real and of life.
I agree. And also, and this is a slippery slope to the reasons why I can't stand those kinds of field trips, is you're so busy executing the agenda and the schedule that miss the real stuff that you could find potentially in that over-controlled fake experience. You know, we're so busy keeping on the time schedule to get back to the bus that nobody saw, you know, the squirrel having a baby right there, you know, or whatever. Do squirrels have babies?
I would love to.
I just made that up.
Talk about distracting. Totally just squirrel, but squirrel having a baby.
right there. Holy shit.
Well, we've talked about field trips in this podcast before, and if you want more on the topic, Dan and Amy and the Shaken Bone, Dan Hodgins and Amy Ahola and the Shaken Bones podcast did a great episode about field trips that people might want to listen and do on one of our sister podcasts, because they covered the and I mean Dan Hodgins talking about field trips was a hoot listening to. So people might want to check that out. Another thing on this topic I wanted to touch on is, why is it developmentally that kids are so interested in the whole concept of checking out the world? Because it's not, Rowan is not the first kid I've ever heard it from. It's something kids are drawn to. Is there, why?
I think it's also something that's been modeled. I mean, I know Grandbaby Bug pretty well, and know pretty well a lot of the adults that are hanging out with her, and I don't think it's something you guys consciously set out to do. It's just when you're hanging out with people who are, you know, inherently curious about stuff, it rubs off, you know, and so it doesn't surprise me. But I think children, and Piaget told us this, and I mean, a lot of people have told us this, children come into the world with an inherent sense of curiosity and wonder and want to discover things and want to figure things out. I think it's up to us as adults to provide them rich, organic, meaningful opportunities to be able to do that, whether it's at home, your backyard, a forest, a childcare center, I don't care what it is. I think it's up to the adults to have that kind of environment that's even worth exploring.
Yeah.
And, you know, so is it developmentally appropriate? Of course it is. I mean, even just being real academic for a minute, I mean, that just the few examples that you shared, we could look every single one of those back to one of the four domains of being developmentally appropriate and engaging in DAP, developmentally appropriate practice. You know, so what's going on cognitively when we're opening the door and walking up the stairs and coming back down the stairs, and what's going on physically and social emotionally and all the language that we can be attaching to it. So, you know, for somebody like me, it's like a no-brainer, but yeah, we still find ourselves needing to quantify it or validate it, and that too many folks, I still think that something would be happening in a desk in a classroom would somehow trump or override walking through a parking garage and going up the stairs and coming back down them. And if you allow yourself to start seeing those other experiences with the right lenses, you start to see that those things should be and do trump what we're often calling academic classroom cognitive schoolwork.
Yeah, yeah. And so part of our job, I guess, in those situations, as caregivers, sure, but also as parents, needs to be putting on the what are they learning lenses and picking those things apart. Last week, we were on our way to Wisconsin for a gig, and we're going through the Minneapolis area. We stopped to see our buddy Amanda from UNCON, visit her program. Hi, Amanda.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening. And,
hi, Amanda.
And they were repaving the parking lot. Their program is kind of there's an apartment complexes and shopping area and this kind of stuff. And so they're redoing some parking lots, and the kids have been watching the paving machines work and that kind of stuff. And again, a very in the moment, real experience. But you could sit down and you could document everything that they're learning. They're talking to the construction guys, and so there's language development, and they're visually tracking, watching the machines go back and forth and cause and effect. When this machine goes by, then the old asphalt comes up, and this other machine comes by and it smooths it down. All this kind of stuff. And when we can see that, we can explain it to parents if we're the
people
caregivers.
Who don't see it.
What? I missed
the people who don't see it.
Yeah, the people who don't see it. And that might be your administrator, and it might be the licensor, and it might be the parents. Or if you're a parent, it might be grandma. Grandma might be wondering, well, why aren't they doing flashcards? Why aren't they learning anything? And when you can pick this apart and break it down about all the stuff they're learning by checking out the world, that you there's a lot of benefit to that. I think we also,
yeah,
as humans, I think we're also kind of, maybe not all of us, but I think as a species, we're kind of driven to see what's over the next hill and what's around that corner, aren't we? It just kind of seems to be.
Well, yeah. What was that one guy who said two things, everything new is half familiar. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's some sense of, oh, this is kind of familiar, so I'm willing to take that next step. It's not like 100% totally like out of my comfort zone. And then there was another, John Medina said something about brains, that the brain craves that novelty.
Yeah.
You know, a little, something just slightly different that makes me go, huh, I wonder what's over there. What would happen if I jumped out of this tree and tried to, you know, chase that animal instead of letting him chase me? And some of that animal instinct stuff, I think, kind of kicks into play. You know, if we were always okay with the way that it was done, you know, we'd still be sitting around a fire in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, waiting,
you know?
Waiting for lightning to strike a zebra or something, so we can have something.
Yeah, or waiting to get eaten.
Yeah, yeah. My saber-toothed tiger. Well, yeah, our brains crave novelty, and we're also kind of wired to pay attention to the unfamiliar thing in the environment. And so when they're,
'cause it might kill you.
Yeah, yeah, or it might feed us or help us. And so we're predisposed to pay attention to those things. And if we're in an environment that doesn't change, it gets boring. And so one of the things that we, if we're getting kids out into the world to check out the world a little bit more, we're also doing a lot for their behavior, because we're giving them novelty and we're giving them new experiences, and they're not getting bored with the same old of our four walls. How do we?
But I still think you need to approach that. Now, this is going to be tricky for me to attempt to articulate. Mm-hmm. You can't turn that into like the agenda. Like, next week, we're going to have explore the world as our theme.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I think sometimes our good intentions still get canned. Like, they still then get presented in the fashion that we had become familiar with. So I think it's more of a sense of being with children as opposed to something now we're going to start doing with children. We're going to start doing this. Maybe having it more of things you start pointing out, or I don't know, does that, how does that become part of your lifestyle or just of your own being or of your own person as opposed to a curriculum thing?
I think a big part of it is that we have to approach it like we should approach play, as in the children need to be the leaders. When we're doing this with grandbaby, when we're on the road and having adventures, there are plenty of things that I'm thinking like, oh, we should stop here and we should stop here because she should experience this or she should experience that. And that's a thing. There's some value to that a little bit.
There's room for that.
I really like the I need to stop there. I love the parking garage thing because that was completely her. I love totally. We go on, I've talked about it in other episodes, we go on these adventure walks, and it's something we used to do back in our program too. We would walk out of the building, walk out of the house, and go to the corner, and I would say, which way? And the kids come to an agreement about which way we were going to go. And sometimes we ended up at restaurants having lunch, and sometimes we ended up riding the city bus, and sometimes we ended up standing in the bucket of big earth-moving equipment on construction sites. And none of it was planned. It was just all the randomness of their choices leading us on an adventure. And so we can create opportunities to follow their leads. And, of course, you got to do all, if you're in a center especially, there's paperwork and field trip stuff. And it can be painful, but sometimes we got to go beyond the easy stuff if we're going to get kids what they need developmentally from us.
Well, and I'm going to jump in here too. You also got to practice what you preach. You know, so if we're out there with all the rah-rah and problem-solving and exploring and being curious, you know, what have you done today to put that into practice?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's really important. And I want to share this. And I hadn't thought about this in a long time. My parents used to call it a grandpa drive. There were five of us. And occasionally, like on the weekends, they would put us in the car. and we'd have a grandpa drive. And they would say, just like what you did with the adventure walk. Like, so we'd come to the intersection and they'd be like, which way? And somebody'd say, turn right. And we'd do this, and eventually you'd end up somewhere, and then we would tumble out and have that kind of an adventure. But just that, you know, that we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen today, but you're the boss of it. Let's figure it out. I mean, that was awesome when we used to do that. So you could do that now.
Yeah, kids. Yeah, yeah. I heard stories growing up from my dad about how how when he was a kid, my grandfather, and this is back when interstates were new and big old sedans would do 80 plus very easily going down the highway. And they went out for a Sunday drive one day after church and ended up in Tennessee from Iowa.
Oh my God.
So that's a version of that too. Now, but the thing is, it doesn't have to be a big, long, you don't have to go that far. Heck, for some families, going out to the front yard.
Just going in the yard.
Going outside, period. Walking down the street, going down the street to the coffee shop, that kind of thing. And so some of this, I mean, centers programs should get better at this, but families need to do more of this too. It's easier to run to the grocery store, and leave the kids with grandma or dad or mom or something like that. And the adult goes to the grocery store by themselves, but there's so much learning to take place in those exchanges. I mean, grandbaby, she's got to the point where when we're in a store or restaurant, she's, I'm paying. I'm like, you ain't got no money.
Okay.
And she says, you can give it to me, because she wants to be the boss of that exchange with the waitress or the cashier at the grocery store or something. And that, I mean, plenty of learning going on there too. Here's the cash. Here's the change. Here's the card. Papa, what's the PIN? Haven't given her the PIN yet. But yeah, good. That, because I mean, there's all sorts of, self-governance, and being the boss of yourself and having power that comes from those kind of simple exchanges too. So we need to encourage.
And I also think the modeling.
Yeah.
Now you're just doing your thing, right? You're not doing it for any reason other than this is all y'all's thing. But now there's some mama in the back of that grocery line who's watching going, I wonder if maybe I can try that, right? I love that idea that like the teaching without realizing it, right? That somebody saw you do it, somebody saw it successful, and maybe next time he or she will give it a go, yeah. Right? And they might not have had the idea, but they don't feel threatened by it, but would have never stopped to think that it's okay for them to do it. And now you've kind of given them permission, whether you realized it or not, that it's okay to slow down a little bit.
Yeah. And just embrace the value of the day-to-dayness of life. Did you have a stroke? The video feed I'm getting, you're kind of slouched over. Are you okay?
No, I noticed that my toenail was falling off.
Well, of course you did. So along this topic.
I started running again. That's how the universe paid me back. Because I already lost a toenail.
So along with this,
so I get a discount on my pedicures.
For those programs that can't get out into the world as much as they would like for whatever reason, and what benefits are there into bringing more of the world into the programs for them to check out?
Again, it depends on the intention behind whatever that thing is and who decided what that thing is. If you're observing kids being interested in something, then you're facilitating versus, hey, I think you should learn about, but again, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And who is it for? Where did the idea come from? That would be my criteria for that comment that you made.
So if it is February, and in February we always set the dramatic play up area up as a veterinarian's office.
Why?
Because it's February and we always do that. If that's the thought process that gets you to that, that's probably not. There's probably better things you could be doing. On the other hand, if there is a stray cat that's been on your playground, and you need this cat not on the playground anymore, and so you call the animal control people and they come and they put the live trap out to catch the stray cat, and then you have the animal control person hang around and show them how they use the little stick with the little noosey thing to grab raccoons and look in the back of their truck and see all the kennels or those kind of things. That's more of the real world. If it's fire week and you have the firemen over because it's fire week, because it's March, or whatever, Fire Prevention Week, that's one thing. But having having somebody have a fire at their house who then has their mind all on fire, and having the firemen come out because of some connection to a real thing is different than doing it because it's Fire Prevention Week, right?
Exactly.
And so we need to, I guess it all comes back to something we talk about all the time, more intentionality in our daily practice and engagement with children, whether you're the mommy and daddy or the professional caregiver, huh?
Yes, and I think the calming down. I wrote, this conversation is reminding me of an article that I wrote 100 years ago called Stop, or no, it was called, what was it? Resisting the Urge to Create Teachable Moments, which is very wordy. But the spirit is, you know, stop thinking so hard about everything.
Yeah.
You know, stop turning it into a teachable moment. Just be in the moment.
Yeah.
You know,
because when you break it down, checking out the world really, really breaks down to the fact that they're all teachable moments. And all we got to do is engage.
Everything.
All we got to do is engage with the world, and that learning happens. We can't stop it.
And not be scared of it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are scared of what might be out there, you know, the boogeyman, and then you get into all that nonsense and the, you know, the myth and the fear, and somebody's going to take me or my kids, or, ooh, this is a bad part of town, and, you know, like, well, you know, how do you know that, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, I don't have that filter, you know, and I'm very fortunate that I won't say it's naivete, because I have strong street smarts when it comes to that, of exploring new areas. I don't bring that fear in. I think some of that's just where I grew up and how I grew up and going to college in the city and all that kind of stuff. But I don't lead with that fear.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that has served me well.
Not leading with fear. I think that's a good way to go through life a lot of times, because, I mean, life isn't as scary as we make it out to be, I don't think.
No. You might have a scary moment. But,
oh, yeah. And those are great, too, because they make the other ones feel so much more enjoyable. So where are you off to check out the world at next?
Actually, I have a local gig this week.
Ooh.
But then on Friday, this was kind of cool. My niece asked me to be her special person who comes in for a special person day. So I get to go in and be her special person. I know, it's kind of cool. I'll be her special person.
Wish I got to be somebody's special person. Hey.
Well, if we had special person day, I would let you come in for me.
Aw, thanks. Hey, listeners, if you need a special person, I'm available.
Jeff's available to be your special person.
I think we're
1-800.
I think we're off to the zoo pretty soon again for grandbaby's birthday. Although we've been invited to attend the zoo with mommy and daddy and grandbaby, and so we just get to go as grandparents. So she starts pitching a fit for anything or anything. All I got to do is stand back and find me a piece of cotton candy or something. So nice. Not,
there you go.
I'll be.
I'm about to go run.
Yeah.
The forest right now. There's like a. Right now, a explore the world moment. It stopped raining. I don't like running in the rain.
Well, I like seeing the pictures of the stuff you post that you find on the trails too.
Oh, I find some really interesting stuff on the trails. That could be a whole podcast. I always find those old-fashioned bottle toppies, the ones that you used to pull off like all the way off, like the tabs, and then all the cool kids would then put the metal inside the Coke, you know, that you would drink, because that's what the cool kids did. Yeah, all the time on the trail. The freakiest thing we ever found on the trail was a baby basket. Though it was like a baby bassinet, and it was on the trail, and it had balloons coming out of it, but there was no baby. It was really weird.
The balloons still had air in them?
Yeah, yeah. It was like somebody put a baby out in the forest with balloons to get your attention, but then the baby wasn't there. It was really, really freaky.
Well, maybe they dropped the baby out of a dirigible or something, out of a hot air balloon.
And
just drifted down, but the baby was stolen by seagulls halfway down or something. Poor baby.
I don't know. It was
Well, listeners, if you're out there checking out the world and happen to find a random baby,
Take a picture.
Maybe it fell out of the baby basket Lisa found. This has been another episode of the Child Care Barn Grill Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. If you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.